to the town of Avril rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw loose and running, came the whisper from each lip. And he's here to do some business with a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. In this town there lived an outlaw by the name of Texas Red. Many men had tried to take him, and that many men were dead. He was vicious and a killer, though a youth of 24, and the notches on his pistol numbered 1 in 19 more. 1 in 19 more. Now the stranger started talking, made it plain to folks around. Was an Arizona ranger, wouldn't be too long in town. He came here to take an outlaw back alive or maybe dead. And he said it didn't matter, he was after Texas Red. After Texas Red. Wasn't long before the story was relayed to Texas Red. But the outlaw didn't worry, men that tried before were dead. 20 men had tried to take him, 20 men had made a slip. 21 would be the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. The morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 20 past 11 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas Red had not cleared leather, for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron. When he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
I look back over circumstances and things that have happened in my life over the past few years. As most of you know, I'm 74. At the age of 8, for Christmas, I was given my first rifle by my grandfather. He had taken me out on the shooting range earlier that year, that summer. And although I'd never fired a weapon in my life, he found out that I was an amazing good shooter. I hit the target. A son of a neighbor of ours in Wisconsin named Tommy had recently gone out and bought a new handgun, which at that time was considered the most powerful handgun in the world. And I shot that sucker and nailed the target every damn time. So I listened to this song tonight, Big Iron, on our hip, something we have a constitutional right to maintain for self-protection, whatever the case may happen to be. In 2015, I moved into my son's house to do a pretty intense restoration. I've continued to collect guns my entire life and shoot them. Of course, I spent some time in the military. Had occasion to pull a trigger there. I had two guns that I took with me to my son's place. One of them I still own, still have in my possession. A gun that I carried with me to Vietnam, a personal handgun. Small backup, just in case. I still own that gun. The other gun that I took with my son's was a piece that I had recently acquired at a gun show, something I rarely do. Of all the guns that I own, only two of them were registered. That particular handgun, a Ruger, and a gun that I bought back in 1979 and 80 from a friend of mine who happened to be a gun dealer. It was more of a collector's piece, although I did shoot it. It wasn't a true collector's piece, but in my mind it was. All the other guns that I owned a .30-06 that had been manufactured in Belgium during World War II by the Nazis. I owned an 1878 double-barrel shotgun that I'd paid $400 for that turned out was worth somewhere around $40,000. All original, never been re-blued. The wood had never been touched. I own a British gun. I owned other long rifles. A couple pieces that actually were from the 1930s that were actually children's guns for the farm, 22s. But they were amazing little guns. And the list goes on and on and on. And while I was gone, with the exception of the two that were in my possession, every single one of my guns disappeared. They were stolen by a family member. Today, Biden signed a $1.5 trillion spending bill. $13.6 billion goes to the Ukraine, which, of course, both he and his sons have been involved with a lot of dirty business in Ukraine for years. And part of that $1.5 trillion will fund our government until September. The bill itself passed the Senate with a bipartisan 68-31 vote. But there was something else involved with it. Gun control. The Biden administration's only way to pass gun control at all is by backdoor means. And so, of course, they've hidden gun control in a massive spending bill designed to fund the government. And hidden within this 3,000-page bill were two significant pieces of gun control. My friends, but that's only half of this shady gun control strategy. You see, the second half is to wrap gun control into a bill that is difficult to vote against for fear of social stigma. And so inside the omnibus bill is a previously failed act called VAWA, Violence Against Women's Act. And the act contains significant backdoor gun control that stands to harm gun owners. Of course, you wouldn't know that just by reading the title. I mean, the swamp creatures in the Senate took the opportunity to revive VAWA, which initially failed explicitly because of the gun control provisions. And they placed this gun control section 2207 pages into the overall bill itself. VAWA contains two major changes to current law. And the first is titled the NICS Denial Notification Act of 2022. And the act will require the criminal investigation of all denials on the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. And for those unaware, the NICS system is used anytime a sale occurs and a firearm is transferred from a federal firearms licensee, a FFL, and an individual. And this process happens thousands of times every day all across this country. Happens almost every time a legal gun sale takes place. Section 1101, NICS Denial Notification Act of 2022 states that this section may be cited as the NICS Denial Notification Act of 2022. Duh. Here's the thing, though. The NICS system isn't perfect. Not even close to being perfect. Many people experience never-ending delays or even flat-out denials because they have a common name or the system confuses them for someone else entirely. In fact, according to Gun Owners of America, the FBI itself admits that it's often wrong on gun-related background check denials. GOA filed an FIOA request. The FBI revealed that around 27.7% of NICS appeals received during the requested time period were overturned, and the firearm purchase transfer were proceeded. Proceeded means when the NICS check completes and the FFL is given a green proceed status. Real tough to figure that one out, right? But additionally, the GOA mentioned that according to claims from John Lott, a Second Amendment researcher and economist, an amazing writer, by the way, 99% of NICS denials are false positives, which means that most denied people are not actually prohibited from owning a firearm. So the fact that the government is compelling law enforcement to act upon a system that produces so many false positives is insane to begin with. And so the change to the law treats people who simply want to purchase a firearm and are falsely denied as guilty until proven innocent. And to make matters worse, the act allows the federal government to deputize local police and attorneys to act on behalf of the ATF. Huh? You see, the deputization of local police is a massive overreach for the ATF. It's also likely a direct response to the popular Second Amendment sanctuary county movement, which composes about 62% of the counties in the entire U.S. as of September of 2021, and it has continued to grow since. And those counties have pledged not to enforce federal gun control laws. My friends, this act is just another example of anti-gun politicians using dirty tricks to pass unpopular legislation. Anti-gun politicians had brought VAWA itself before Congress in 2019, but many in Congress opposed it because they did not support the gun control portions of the bill itself. Who knew that it would eventually be resurrected and hidden into a 3,000-page government spending bill? And this is the dirty shit that they pull. I maintain every bill should stand on its own, never co-mingled with anything else. And, of course, this situation reflects another large problem in government, where bloated trillion-dollar spending bill is jammed through Congress at the last minute to avoid a government shutdown. I mean, frankly, who the hell knows what else is hidden in there? I mean, as the situation in Ukraine continues to capture the headlines here in this country, this massive spending bill will likely be overlooked by the corporate legacy media. And it's ironic. While the Ukrainians are being praised and funded and even given weapons in some cases, and yet meanwhile, regular Americans here in the U.S. are slowly having those same rights eroded bit by bit by bit. The boot gets heavier every day on the necks of the little people. Slipped into the bill is a lie. The political class are just using slip as a cover for their vote. They knew damn well what was in that vote. So they did this allegedly to protect women? Does that include restricting knives, crossbows, spears, broken whiskey bottles, machetes, hatchets, lethal poisons, hiring a hitman, stabbed in the neck with a pencil, maybe a harpoon through the ocular cavity? No, they don't give a damn about women or their safety. It's another power grab by the wicked in the name of the innocent. Rich bastards over the poor. It's always class warfare, isn't it? Women. They're the very ones that need firearms to protect themselves from stronger attackers. This is an anti-women law. It's unbelievable. The only reason why government would want to disarm us after 243 years is because they intend to do something that you would shoot them for. It's unbelievable. Remember Australia? I mean, this goes back to my first couple of years on the air, 1995. Citizens were disarmed in Australia. They were at the mercy of government. And when this happens, they invite overreach, subjugation. All systems need governing boundaries to keep within healthy function and limits. That our nation has lost much of the protections. And they've designed limits that the founders wrote into it. Each time we've lost much of our national strength, our wealth, our freedoms to those who plotted to change our government, change our nation. Our ability to defend ourselves from those who have infiltrated and hijacked our government depends upon our ability to stop them from destroying us. There's been an unrelenting and constant assault on this ability from the demo commies for decades. We've already lost our constitutional government to them. And if we lose our ability to defend our lives and our families, we will lose our ability to restore our constitutional government as well. And to do this, we must unite under an effective leader, focus on a plan, and especially retain our firearms. Can you possibly imagine that giving up our firearms to those who fund and empower the likes of Fauci will not turn out to be a bloodbath for us? My friends, we can restore a civilized nation, but we must do it over the efforts of monsters who hate living in a civilized manner. They want to subjugate others to do with them as they see fit. They want to return to a stone age that might makes right an uncivilized way of life. Look at the tactics, the words, the actions of the demon craps. They're uncivilized, unconstitutional. They expect to be above the law. They say they're for one thing, like science, but they do exactly the opposite. They're sadistic. Their arguments are false, illogical. The world they create will be the same sort we see in the cities they control. Poverty-stricken, brutal for most of the people. Think about that. The world these Democrats want to create will be the same sort we see in the cities that they already control. We cannot succeed into small, easily conquered states. We, the people, must stand together under a strong, courageous, and effective leader who can focus us on a good plan, but who will be attacked with lies and smears by our enemies to prevent us from acting effectively. Oh, my friends, we're in serious trouble now, and if we do not stand with one another for our civilized and constitutional nation, which makes everyone equal under the same law, we will lose this for ourselves and the world for a very long time, possibly ending mankind. And now, this day, today, tonight, is a time for good humans to stand together against murderous monsters who hide behind lies and emotional propaganda to enslave us all. Now, 1 hour before I came across that which I just shared with you, I published an article by Justin Smith. It makes all of what I'm about to share with you that much more important to understand where some people are thinking, what their mindsets are. Justin's latest column is entitled, "I'll Carry My Firearm, Law or Not." And as you listen to me share this with you, think about all which I've just shared with you, which will also be published shortly after I get off the air. Justin begins that in a country that was supposedly founded upon several inalienable God-given rights, one would think that America's leaders would never seek to diminish, erode, or abrogate them. But that's just what they do and have done my entire adult life, because those rights stand in the way of their power and control over the people. Our rights are under constant attack by Democrats who now more closely resemble Marxist tyrants. And let's not forget the Republicans in name only, who are merely status globalists and equally repugnant to freedom-loving Americans. And recently, these enemies of freedom and liberty sought fit to infringe upon our Second Amendment and our lawful right to self-defense by inserting the anti-firearm legislation into this spending bill that we just shared with you. And remember, once again, it's all titled Violence Against Women Act. You know, one should note that Joe Biden has long led the charge to eradicate our Second Amendment rights. Throughout his entire Senate career, and as vice president in January of 2013, he led a gun control commission for the purpose of offering proposals to the White House and Congress for gun controls and regulations. My sick, twisted sense of humor when it comes to choosing images. 39 Republicans vote for what Justin refers to as the bullshit bill. Oh, I'm sorry. Does that offend you? If that offends you people, you don't get it. You should be offended by what Biden just signed today. You should be offended by what Congress continues to manipulate and shove up our posteriors. Justin continues that, although myself and many millions of other advocates for the right to keep and bear arms have tirelessly petitioned Congress throughout the years to defend and protect this right, it is regularly assaulted each and every year, either in Congress or in some other left-leaning state where an ignorant, misinformed population consistently gives support to its eradication. And on March 10th, 2022, in the dead of night, the Senate passed this bill we just spoke of, the VAWA, that contains more items aimed at further eroding the Second Amendment. And oh, son of a gun, guess who it was co-authored by? Well, for starters, it was all Democrats. Senators Lisa Murkowski, Republic rat from Alaska, God knows how she's continued to last up there. Dianne Feinstein, Democrat from California, who should have been taken out when that guy came into the San Francisco City Council and started shooting people. Johnny Ernst, a Republic rat from Iowa. Whoop. And Dick Durbin, Democrat from Illinois. Thought he was dead. You know, there are an awful lot of us well aware of what was taking place when the VAWA passed the House of Representatives last year, and many made their anger known over the anti-firearm clauses. And a lot of folks thought that surely they had received the message to cease and desist their moves in that direction. But we got caught by surprise. In Justin's case, because he had been currently focused on the clamoring climate change commies in the Democrat Party and Biden's policies that have led to new energy and economic crises, all of which have placed America between a rock and a hard spot. And yet what's taken place is bad, folks. An erosion of our inalienable rights. But the points that it hits could prove to be very damaging in some respects, depending on how aggressively each local segment of law enforcement pursues enforcement on the Fed, the state, and the local levels. And in reality, all represent illegal, unconstitutional violations of the Second Amendment and should be challenged in a court as such. But I wonder about that, because it seems that all the original 10 amendments have been nullified by these bastards. The parts of the firearm-related clauses that passed as part of the VAWA reauthorization were sections 1101 and 1102, which allowed law enforcement to launch investigations into anyone associated with a firearm background denial. And even though those NICS denial notifications are frequently wrong, as we shared with you earlier, not only are law-abiding citizens denied their firearm under this law, but then they are subjected to an intrusive investigation by law enforcement agents. And under Section 1103, funding is given to the ATF for the purpose of deputizing local police officers to enforce federal firearms laws, especially for the purpose of undermining the Second Amendment Protection Act. Now, earlier we referenced Gun Owners of America, who noted that there is a window of opportunity to still remove those anti-Second Amendment clauses, but GOA noted it was a 5-day window. That window closed yesterday. Joey signed it today. Nothing's going to change. Nothing. I guess we could say that fortunately, some of them are onerous parts didn't pass. Years of resistance from pro-Second Amendment groups and normal law-abiding citizens successfully led to the removal of Sections 101 and 2, which granted funding for the training of police officers to execute red flag firearm confiscation orders. Sections 801 and 802 were also blocked, which allowed for the confiscation of firearms for anyone convicted of domestic violence against a woman. I mean, come on, you don't need a firearm to kill somebody. Knives and hammers work too, you know. They've all turned state-level stalking laws into red flag firearm confiscation laws. Interestingly, all of this was one of Donald Trump's greatest flaws, in that he revealed himself to be far too willing to sign red flag legislation into law, and at one point even suggested suspending due process of the law. Trump also violated the Second Amendment when he signed his executive order that banned bump stocks. And although bump stocks were a worthless extra piece of equipment meant to aid and increase a rifle's rate of fire, that step represented a blatant violation, no matter how one looked at it. No, I don't think we're going to have time. Thanks anyway. Question that one asks is, who gets to decide whether someone is a threat to themselves or others? How often will any red flag law be used to target conservatives and others by their political enemies by way of false accusations? And this bill also funds what is tantamount to an in-house program designed to advocate for more gun control measures through research into gun violence. With such research too often manipulated by Democratic Party ideologues entrenched within these agencies. Oh, they all begin with the conclusion that they want to reach and then manipulate it, and they cherry-pick the facts to support their anti-firearm positions. All of which was detailed by Dr. Miguel Faria Jr. in his book, America, Guns, and Freedom. Information he gave us as part of his testimony before Congress in the spring of 1996. This is part of the trouble Americans facing, that we face regarding politics. How political dynamics affect the state of the union and our inalienable God-given rights. One person cannot do it all or oversee it all. And for those fine conservative and independent Americans most interested in preserving freedom and liberty for future generations, that would be you and I. It's going to take a lot better communication and the formation of far more groups delegated certain primary issues to vigilantly watch over in order to better protect and defend our rights. Not just the Second Amendment rights, all of our rights. But Americans must be better informed. They must vet candidates more intensely so as to more fully know who they are electing and exactly where they stand on the most important issues of the day. To see 39 Republicans vote for this bullshit reveals the sad state of the GOP and the fact that in too many instances, it no longer really defends our inalienable God-given rights. It no longer represents true freedom or liberty for America. Depending on whether or not these infringements upon the Second Amendment are ever challenged before a lower court, or make their way to the Supreme Court, these clauses should be found unconstitutional, since they are aimed at eroding and eradicating this very right. These clauses absolutely infringe upon our inalienable God-given right to carry firearms for the lawful purpose of self-defense. An individual right, according to the Supreme Court in the District of Columbia versus Heller in 2008, and one that pre-exists the Constitution and government, noting that this includes carrying any weapon of one's choice for that same lawful purpose of self-defense. There's not a single clause in the U.S. Constitution that can be interpreted to give Congress, the president, or any state legislatures, or the District of Columbia, the power, the authority to disarm law-abiding people, or infringe upon our right to arm ourselves in the manner that we currently witness Congress doing. There's nothing that allows them to do that. These flagitious attempts to eradicate our Second Amendment right, God-given, is occurring in plain sight through incremental actions and under a general pretense in blind pursuit of inordinate power. What's the lawsuit that was just settled? Not in anyone's favor. Did it have to do with Sandy Hook? Oh, and yet stories keep popping up. None of those kids were killed. It's all a big setup, and all those people are grown adults now, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what's true or what's false there, but the manufacturer of the guns, and I can't think who the manufacturer's name was found guilty and had to fork out plenty of money. The manufacturer of the guns Well, the guns didn't pop up and start pulling their own triggers and reloading, did they? This is some of the stupidest crap I've ever seen. Now, friends, these are the reasons that men like Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, John Locke spoke often in the rights of men, and the reason that our founders created the Second Amendment, in that they saw the need to prevent such abuse of power, preserve the rest of the Bill of Rights, restrain the federal government, and keep Americans and our country free. And in his commentaries on the Constitution, Joseph Story, one of our first few Supreme Court justices, considered the right to keep and bear arms as the palladium of liberties of the Republic, since it offered a strong moral check against the usurpation and arbitrary power of rulers, which deterred tyranny. It was designed to enable the people to overthrow their government should it prove necessary. But here's the problem. How many times do I read and see things like that? Remington, that was it. Thank you. Enables the people to overthrow their government should it prove necessary? Those are some nice words. But we the people have been so damn brainwashed that we don't understand that those words even exist. Isn't it long past time to overthrow this government? Because it's long since past necessary. My friends, it's just a damn shame that this nation has arrived to a point that its elected officials cannot be trusted to the simplest tasks and the protection and the defense of our freedom and liberties, which is precisely the reason the Second Amendment was codified as a negative right to plainly state what the government cannot do to us. Namely, infringe upon our right to keep and bear arms. And this applies to any extra requirement applied against this right, such as a fee, a tax, a license. Justin and I have some interesting things in common. He says he's had a firearm of one kind or another in his hands since he was 8 years old. And it's hard for me to understand how afraid of firearms that so many Americans have become. He said, I used to wave at the sheriff's deputies in 1970 at the age of 13 as I walked down the main road through Dixon, Missouri, toting my 12-gauge shotgun on my way to the fields that were full of wild boars. It's interesting. That rifle I mentioned earlier in the program that my grandfather had given me for my 8th birthday or Christmas, I guess. And how many times I carried that. I never took the school bus to go to school. And some of the schools I went to were close and some of them weren't so close. And very interesting how probably 3 or 4 times over the years that I would take that rifle, put that rifle over my shoulder, and carry that thing to school for show and tell. Nobody harassed me. Nobody called me over and, hey, boy, put up your hands and put that gun down, blah, blah, none of that kind of stuff. But nowadays you can just see some 13-year-old repeating this same casual act. Some blue and pink-haired, nose-ring-wearing LGBTQ Democrat screaming bloody murder and, oh no, oh God, somebody call the police, he's going to kill someone. Even though they just called their representative the day before to demand that the police be defunded, right? Yeah. Americans, all of us, that's you sitting out there listening tonight or listening to a rerun some weeks or months down the road. had better get off your lazy asses, turn off the radio for a couple hours, and start demanding that each and every new bill proposed must be addressed separately and fully discussed and debated and made known to their constituents. How interesting, how much Justin and I think alike. This angers me that they've got to co-mingle and co-mix everything, to hide it, to bury it, to screw us all. This country, the people of this country, must not allow such surreptitious actions as sneaking a bill into a much larger bill in hopes that nobody will notice. Such actions are the actions of someone who knows they are doing something that is wrong. In the meantime, Justin continues, I will do as I've always done. I will carry any firearm I want at any given moment on any day I want to do so, whether it's my little 22 mag or a big old Barrett 50 manufactured by my good friend Ronnie Barrett. On the day any law enforcement agency and his people come to take my firearms, if this law isn't rescinded and struck down, they better pack a lunch because it's going to be an all-day job and they're going to have to come through a hail of bullets. For me, this represents an act of war against me, against my family, against America. And I will act and respond accordingly. If the government, under any administration, presses this and actually enforces it, not one person who voted for this bullshit should be safe. Keep this in mind. They might not be wearing Soviet uniforms when they come for our guns, but they'll be communists nonetheless. My friends, Americans better wake up. And wake up soon and start fighting back harder than ever for their lives and their freedom against this sort of tyranny. For these bastards mean to replace the rule of law with diktats and legislation that is no righteous law whatsoever. Not when it attempts to turn good and decent law-abiding citizens into outlaws and infringes upon and violates an inalienable God-given right that represents one of the cornerstones of our nation's founding. Every man, woman, and child has an absolute right to their life. And as such, also have an absolute right to defend their lives, whether that defense is from a robber, a rapist, or a murderer, or an out-of-control government. And such rights that are found in nature as created by God, those which we have come to identify as inalienable God-given rights, cannot be abrogated or legislated from existence. Even should legislation exist making it illegal for people to arm themselves for the lawful purpose of self-defense, our right to self or to defend ourselves using any weapon at our disposal remains constant and true, and their law is no law at all. Oh my God, what happens if I pick up that baseball bat that once in life belonged to Babe Ruth and decide to crack somebody's skull with that sucker? They're going to make it illegal for us to own baseball bats now too? Over our entire lives, people, we have witnessed one congressman after another, one president after another, and many governors make moves against all of our rights, enumerated in the Bill of Rights. And they've looked upon them as negative rights that explain what the federal government cannot do to the American people. And in watching these sort of illiberal acts, one grows to one's manhood understanding that despite the constant, incessant lip service that so many give to protecting our rights, the only thing they want to do is grow and protect their own power, all the while trampling upon our rights, our freedom, our liberty. And sadly, so many in the GOP, the Republican Party, they haven't the first clue of what it means to truly be a free and independent man. I hope and pray that one day soon people will come to their senses, take some drastic actions that will open a path to real freedom and liberty, and the prosperity that would must assuredly follow. Must. Justin O. Smith, with my own commentary interspersed. Michael, you there? Now he's probably taking a bathroom break. Or somebody's called him on the phone. That sucks. I have no way to plug some music in here right now. I need to run down the hallway and grab something out of my other room. It's something I've been sitting on for about a week. Michael, are you there? Please, please. Guess not. I don't necessarily want dead air sitting here, but I really want to pull this piece out. What do we got here? Okay, good. All right, excellent. We got stuff going on there, here, here, here. More stuff just keeps coming my way. Unbelievable. I get so much wacky email, don't you? This is the one I get. Look at this. An illegal alien wanted for murder in Mexico has been arrested 3 times by U.S. police, has been deported now for the 4th time. And he's going to get back in. These are the directions that these people must concentrate on. Not this utter nonsense. But they want to go after us. Don't you find it rather sickening after a while? It's absolutely crazy. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cheat because I really want to do this piece. And I'm going to turn up the music on my computer. So you're going to listen to some kind of hollow-sounding music for a moment or so. Okay? And it's what I have to do. A little bit jazzy, whatever the case may happen to be. Stick around. I'll be back in less than a minute. Yes, my friend, I was playing that. I had to do that. No, I figured you were on the phone. I told you folks I'd be back in less than a minute. I received, and because a lot of times, much of what we discussed here tonight has to do with the whole gun control grab, women's rights, other things, and certainly death to some degree. And Michael, this piece I'm going to do may go on a little bit longer than our closing piece of music, but it's okay. We can live with it. Written by a very interesting writer that I've learned to greatly appreciate, who writes for our local weekly publication, the West Valley View. It's entitled Neighbor's Suicide Leaves Regret and Questions in Its Wake. The White House, that's the color of the woman's house, sits across the street from the window fronting my desk. Not much distinguishes the place from the rest of the block where I moved 2 weeks ago. Four orange trees, their trunks painted white, line the east edge of the driveway. The side gate has a sign that reads, "Beware the dog," in faded orange letters. On the porch sits a white pot sprouting a metal replica of a sunflower. And the flower's bright yellow adds a little cheer to the scene, but this is not that kind of story. I met the woman who owned the house once a few days after I moved in. I was unloading the last of my boxes, walked over from across the street, and introduced herself as Linda. She looked to be approaching 80, blunt in the way people of a certain age can pull off. "It's a nice street," she assured me, with a hard glance that seemed to suggest I had better keep it that way. I learned Linda had lived on the small white house for decades besides Carol and her best friend and forever neighbor. There was rarely traffic on the block. Dogs barked on occasion. I told her my name, then my phone rang. It was a work call I needed to take. And we said goodbyes, and I thought nothing more of it for a few days when I came home to a street full of police cars and an ambulance. The low white house had police crime scene tape blocking the driveway. Officers milled about. Carol and the forever neighbor sat on her porch talking into her phone, and I could see her shoulders heaving. The sergeant running the scene met me in the street, had little to say except that there had been a death, and now a death investigation was happening, and I asked whether there had been a crime. He said he didn't think so, that it looked like an older woman, the home's only occupant, had taken her own life. No, not with a gun. It appeared she had hanged herself. "And that's sad," was the best I could do. "Very sad," he agreed. A thought occurred to me. I guess she might have been lonely. A couple of visitors have come and gone from the house since the afternoon. I've looked for places to bump into Carolyn from the house next door to ask if there's anything I could do for her. And each morning I glance through the obituaries to see if there might be more to Linda's life, loved ones left behind, a memorial service scheduled, a charity where one might pay tribute. "But possibly that's the reporter in me," David says, wanting to know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. "But more likely it's the human being in me, the new neighbor who wishes he hadn't answered the phone, who regrets not being warmer, who wonders how he might have made some small difference. This is magical thinking, I suppose. The world may feel small today with everyone in each other's business on Facebook, Twitter, online. But the truth is, we've never been more isolated. Buried under the outward self, we show the world the blessings and the proclamations of gratitude. Each of us has endless hidden nuances, stories we take pains to keep locked away. And now I write a story about a neighbor no longer here to read it while I stare at the house she left vacant and wonder what happened behind those closed curtains, that front door with the iron security gate. So it goes. We're here until we're not. And sometimes we take the rest of the story with us. It is a story that has no meaning to many. And I suspect there are those of us who share similar stories, who've had similar experiences. In this last year, it's been the passing of our son. It's been the passing of the most amazing girlfriend he ever had, Emily, just months later. And to sit back and wonder, what else could we have done? And there's so many things that we can do as individuals for circumstances like the one I just shared with you. But it's also a challenge to get you to get off your lazy rear ends. And I mean it when I tell you, stop listening to 24 hours a day on the radio. We're glad to have you as listeners, ladies and gentlemen. But you've got to take the lessons and the things that we're trying to teach you and share with you and get off your lazy asses and start becoming more responsible to help prevent the kind of things that has been crammed down by jerks like Biden. If you don't understand it, then I don't know why you're bothering me. I don't come here to entertain you. And I say, majority, you shouldn't be losing me. I'm right here. I suspect the majority of the broadcasters on this network are here to challenge you and to teach you. So it's now up to you. We're having some strange sound issues, so I'm going to fade out, let the network go to our closing music. I'll see you tomorrow.
But then General Santa Anna sent some Mexican troops to take the big gun away. You know what those colonists said?
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you. You'll have to pry from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time. Well, that started a revolution that no one could put down. Like a wildfire for freedom, it's burning even now. You see, even if you got an army, when all is said and done, you just don't mess with Texas, especially when it comes to guns. The Mexicans went home without that cannon.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you. You'll have to pry it from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time. I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.